welcome to episode 131 of Notcast. This is our third year here at Furry Fiesta, and we're glad you're here. I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Reki.
And we are a furry sex and relationship podcast. We answer emails from clueless kids and people in, you know.
Can they applaud now since you've cut them off like three times?
Oh, for fuck's sake. I guess y'all can. God.
We just want to be heard.
I'm just trying to do my spiel, damn it. And we've been going for about, what, this is our start about fourth year?
We're hit our third anniversary in, well, February 29th was the first episode. God. Yeah.
We've been going for too long. No. Yeah. So.
This is the last episode. If you note, there is an explosive device under all of your chairs. we're going to go up and see. Yes, it's an exploding dick.
All the exploding cocks are behind Fuzz, so.
I have that effect on men, what can I say? But they don't explode flat fire, they explode cum.
Okay.
It could have been worse.
I saw this on CSI, actually, because they did they recreated the cum shot and went through somebody's eye, blew out the back of their head.
What? What? Was that Superman murder?
Yes.
Gross. The cum.
Oh.
Stragglers.
Looks like we got some troublemakers.
Look at these slave late people.
Oh, don't take pictures.
This guy's from sub-level 3.
Togo has a really big lens. It's really thick.
Wow.
It's okay. I can fire back.
I think Panthers is bigger.
No, he's the Oklahoma sex wolf.
Nod.
Okay.
So, have you found a good email to start with, Saverin?
There are no good
emails.
There are awesome emails. Okay, I found the one.
Okay, I'm going to fuck my soundboard until you're ready.
No, here. Buzz, read an email before you start ruining everything.
Again.
Forever.
Okay.
Cuban donkey show head. What?
Okay. You gotta get a picture of that.
I will.
This guy on the front row will give you head.
Oh.
I love that we have hecklers who are friends of ours. Threesome dilemma update.
Dun dun dun.
Dear Notcast, specifically Saverin. You're all fucking ass dummies. We had talked a few months ago about the topic of threesomes. Well, to make a long story short, it happened last night.
Awesome.
Dun, dun, dun. And the screen's going dark. Okay. drama. We didn't discuss things too far ahead of time, needless to say, but we did talk things over as sexcapades were slowly unfolding. We talked about how open we all were, what boundaries or lack thereof we had, whether or not we would let this get awkward, etc. You can see that conversation. I want this to get awkward. So do I. I'm glad we're in agreement about this.
Let's take off our clothes and stare at each other. Not know what to do.
Just point and laugh. We constantly made sure that no one was getting uncomfortable about anything so that no regrets would be had. So even though I kind of took your advice and kind of didn't, I'm happy to say that everything turned out awesome, if you exclude the fact that we wasted 10 minutes hunting for a condom at one point. These things happen.
That's a boner kill.
You know, it's better to spend 10 minutes hunting for a condom than 18 years fathering a kid.
For all those
is that,
hours
okay,
in the sex
I'm sorry.
Clinic wondering.
The two fuckers in the back with the signs.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the band. Okay. Eat shit. As long as you die afterwards.
Yeah.
Spectacular. Uh-oh.
So I will continue this email. Yes. I want to find out if they found a condom. And whether they put it on a dick or whether they filled it up with helium like they did out there a few minutes ago.
Yes.
I don't want to bore you with the fine details. Oh, no, please, please do. We want a play-by-play. But the end result was my fiancé telling me to fuck the other girl while she watched, with plenty of foreplay between the three of us leading up to it. It was the first time my fiancé had ever been that physically close to another girl.
So close. Almost.
Like, we're really close. And my first time having casual sex. I know it's not the most traditional thing to do, letting your significant other of 4 years go balls deep into some new pussy while she watches. But as I'm writing this less than 12 hours later, I'm happier than ever with our relationship.
I remember. Did it say hours or minutes? I thought it said minutes.
Hours.
Oh, okay.
12 minutes later. I gotta tell Matt Cass about this shit.
That's what I was wondering.
Enjoy the afterglow.
Like,
I gotta
text.
Write an email.
Fucking writing it on his phone.
He's typing in thrust. He's TSing the action.
Here's a question. I actually have a question. Has anyone ever answered the phone? Oh God, the door's open. Close the door. Has anyone ever answered the phone while fucking?
You have.
You bastard.
Wow.
I think it was their mom.
Yeah. They were fucking their mom?
No.
That's awful.
Mom, I've got to get this. Hold on.
Well, I always wanted that to happen. I can't talk right now. I'm right in the middle of someone.
No.
I've totally answered the phone when my mom called while I fucked somebody before. It was.
Oh my God.
I was dumb and young.
let me get to the last half a paragraph here. We've reached an unfathomable level of trust between us. And they made them promise that they wouldn't write into a podcast about this. And I have no regrets, only a newly fortified love for the girl I'm going to be spending the rest of my life with. Thanks again for all your help, Cygnus. P.S., please feel free to read this letter on the show if you want. Probably should put that up front, just in case it wasn't cool.
It's like, oh, and by the way, please don't read this on her. Oh, shit.
By the way, I meant to be anonymous.
So, I got a question. How many have never been to a Notcast before?
Wow.
Okay. Who's never listened to a Notcast?
Weeping Anus.
Okay.
Stool what?
You don't have to read them out loud. You're not their soundboard.
Stool sample.
Now I'm sounds doing like a black sample. Metal band.
Show your tits. Show your tits.
That's the kind of stuff people
okay,
write into.
I need to shut
about.
Up before I turn into Sublevel 3's iPhone app.
Sublevel 3? There's an app for that.
So they're just making a soundboard out of us reading their cards.
Yeah, pretty much. Which is what everyone does because they send us emails and we read them. So, do you have another email?
I'm
to read it?
Trying to find. Please talk.
Okay, so.
We're professionals.
Is everybody having a good time at First Fiesta? See, play to the crowd, totally. Hello, Dallas! We're here to rock!
No, give us 5 minutes.
Oh. We should have the Dutch it.
We could ask them for a live performance. I mean, you know, they could sit up there and just do...
Yeah, can you do a cappella? Could Togo play keyboard a cappella? Like it's right. Unplugged, it's just...
Well, I have an email.
Okay.
Because I read the one in between this one, and it's like, please don't read this on the live show. Well, of course I'm not going to read it. Unless I do later. Okay, this is actually about for the show, for the live show. Oh, sweet God, another furry pun. I suppose the next line would be, yiff, baby, yiff. Disco Inferno. So, Furry Fiesta 2011. Sorry for the awkward spacing, but someone's messing with my phone. Anyways, I guess my question for the cast is, do you think that the furry fandom is getting too big?
I pose this after listening to one of Kage's interviews where he says that the media attention given to the fandom in either a positive or negative light has been causing a rapid growth, and he mentioned that eventually the fandom will lose its small-town factor, where despite the drama llamas and burned furs, it's still a relatively close-knit community. So I just wonder what you guys had to say about that. And no, those are not his exact words, they're just along the same lines. Cheers, Joffrey Wolf. P.S. I'm sorry, Saverin, but Reki's got the sexier voice. Uh-huh. Now, that doesn't mean yours isn't worthy of a mirror. Apparently, there is a war going on between Reki and I for sexier voice.
Well, hello, Shiva's ass.
Oh, Reki, what?
Are you...
Oh, fuck no. Tate!
welcome to Tourette's Cat.
Fuck, shit, goat, Tate. Welcome to fucked ass, fucked ass.
God.
Okay, so.
So, the furry fandom too big or not?
Shit. Well, I don't think as a fox you have a problem with either too big or rapid growth. So what do you guys think? Is fandom getting too big?
No. Are there so there's not too many dirty furries around here?
Well, we don't know about that. Right.
I think the difference between old furry and new furry.
Oh, we got our what's going on.
Is
here's that backing track everybody wanted because we're right next to the dance.
Old furry is it started out with you kind of had
DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Well, I think you had people who like furry sources, like comic books and everything else like that. And now you've got people who are hearing about furry as this thing. It's not something that kind of is being built out of little individual pieces. They heard about this concept of furry, which is usually based something involving CSI. and it's like, what's furry? So you've got people who are coming into it with the idea of it's a fandom rather than, or it's a thing rather than it's what this description of like an amalgam of interest.
It's a random group of weirdos.
Yeah. It's a difference between a random group of weirdos coming together and people hearing of this concept and thinking it's a stock-built thing. So
I do have a question, though, for the audience. I mean, how many of y'all have been involved in the fandom more than 5 years? Okay, so that's a pretty good.
That's like
show
everybody.
No. No.
Okay.
I guess.
If you've considered yourself a furry.
How many have
that's
been.
Difficult considering yourself a furry because I have belonged or been a part of the fandom for maybe 6 months now because I'm extremely new to all of this. However, being furry has been a pretty common theme now that, you know, somebody's pulling them out, you know, pulled out the glasses and said, here, put these on. The whole furry thing has been sort of a running theme for as far back as I can remember.
So, yeah. I don't know if the mics picked it up, but she basically said furry was a theme in her life, but it didn't have a name for the definition, and now somebody's given a name to it.
A group of people who were like-minded, and it's I really was. I was walking blind, and then all of a sudden,
poof. Well, it really depends on how you self-identify yourself with it, because honestly, I was 10 years old playing Star Fox 64, and I created Damien Husky back in the day.
And you're all, oh, Mer.
Yeah, fucking pedo.
This game is
but, no, like, seriously, I made this character when I was, like, 10, and I had no fucking clue what I was doing. I'm sitting there, oh, I can make my Husky unit cover the base. That was the line that did it. And I created this, my own little Cornarian soldier. I was 10 years old. I had no access to the internet because that was 1996 when I was 10. Anyway. Sorry. But, but I consider myself having that character, I guess, since I was 10, even though I never really got involved with the fandom until I was, like, 14 or 15.
Yeah.
So
But I do think that, you know, the show of hands of people that have been involved 5 years or less, I mean, that does show that the fandom really is growing. I mean, this con has gone from first year
400
to...
525.
525 to over 1,000
in three years.
We're over a thousand people today.
Somebody's friend was number 1,000, I heard.
So, cool.
So it's really starting to grow. But I don't know if it's just coming out of the woodwork and people hearing that it's nearby, or if it's people introducing new people. Who here had not been to a furry con before today? So here's a
good... Oh, wow.
Who here hasn't really been... Anybody not been really with the fandom and is here with a friend?
No.
Chuck Norris, apparently.
Okay, so we don't have anyone who's just been dragged along to here come have fun. But I have seen a couple of those this con where, you know, come with me this weekend. It's fun. I don't know anything about it, but hey, I'm having a good time anyway.
I was going to say, I think that if we were part of their first exposure to the fandom, we'd frighten them.
This happened at the Unfurled live show at FC. There was a couple of guys that were dragged in to the live show by a fur friend, and they didn't know anything about the fandom, and so like this podcast was like the first exposure that they had, and they fucking looked at me and they were like, "Do you like dogs?" I was like, "No, don't make dog people fucking their introduction to furry."
Just look behind you.
Yeah, there we go. It's not all about this, I swear.
There's no dogs up there.
So, just real quick, basically this mic is only going to work if you're actually standing in front of it. So, if you want to talk on the show, don't yell out because it'll just be like a minute of silence on the podcast. So, we're ready, I guess. I see Lou's one hand over here.
Yeah.
So, ready to go ahead and take some questions or comments from the audience. So, if you want to ask a question or something, just come up to the mic here.
All right.
Talk to the beat of the bass.
This thing isn't even on. Is it on?
Oh, it's
yeah.
on.
Is it on? It's not amplifying. It's recording.
Right, okay.
So we're going to have to cut that boom out of there.
Is this even... Anyway, so I was over at the furniture store across the street today looking at some fine English furniture. And so, you know, I'm chilling, you know, my friend over here, Solomon's got his hat on, and he's the, you know, proprietor of the furniture store is like, "Oh, you guys are next door with the people who like to dress up as animals, correct?" And I'm like, "Yes." And then he asks me, "Why?" And so it's like that's a question that I always have to figure out a answer for, but for some reason this time I was able to just say, "Oh, it's like cartoons. It's sort of like a pageant of cartoon characters, you know, in real life. It's very fun." And he seemed to buy it. But what do you often describe furry as to people who aren't in the know?
Well,
good question.
Can I sit down now?
And I'll take my answer off the air.
For me, it was because I came to it from an amalgam. It's like I did a lot of comic books as a kid, so I tend to portray it as
did lines of coke off of the spines.
I tended to say comic book because that's my strongest, and some cartoons. That's usually where I try to draw it from. You know, this is kind of distilled out of one of my very broad areas of interest, and this is just a distilled faucet of all the things I like. So I don't really have a problem with identifying as a certain thing. It's just, I describe it as, it's not that we like to dress up as animals. We like, you know, I like to do lots of other things too. It's just that that's just one of the aspects of costuming that's going on over there. You know, there's artists and other things too. I just tell them it's not about dressing up like animals. It's just costuming. You know,
part of it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically how I answer it. Yeah.
I mean, to put a definition on the fandom, it's the appreciation of anthropomorphic characters within a given settings, like Robin Hood from Disney. That's a classic example and probably spawned quite a few furries. I know that was kind of my trigger point. I wore through like 3 VHS tapes of that when I was a kid. So, I mean, when it comes to someone, I haven't had anybody just ask point blank, "So what is all these weird people in dog costumes?"
What the fuck, man?
What the fuck's wrong with y'all?
The first year I was here, And we were sharing it with the dentist and the Mary Kay later. Get asked that a couple times. So what is all this? So I did have to answer that a couple times.
Apparently the dentists were being asked by furries if they could, like, cast fangs and stuff like that.
Hey, you know, it's a perfectly valid question if you've got someone who's got the tools. What can you cast?
And it's not like that's exclusive to furries. There's lots of people that have had... It's not necessarily a good idea to carve your canines down into fangs, but people have done it.
Lots of other body mods that are not furries that have done pointed
like
teeth.
The guy with the bifurcated tongue and mm-hmm. the bifurcated cock and unfortunately. I just say, oh, it's a sci-fi convention, or oh, it's a comic convention, or something like that, because I don't want to get into it at the day job and all that. But I usually just, if someone knows that it's some kind of fandom and they ask what it is, I'm just like, you know, it's artwork, it's cartoons, it's comics, because for me it's not really about the costuming, it's more about the artwork and such.
Mm-hmm.
What's your excuse, Racky?
Hey. Fucker. Anyway,
share with the class. Not.
Right. Yeah. By the way, to my roommate at the end, I'm not staring at you. I noticed the fucker recording his video beside you. That's why I was looking that way.
So. Answering his phone.
But anyway, I don't really get a whole lot of people asking me. It's been a very long time. I hide it pretty well at work.
Except when you're wearing your Yip shirt underneath your polo.
Well, no one can fucking see it.
And then we had to have...
Hopefully none of our managers have goddamn x-ray vision, because I'd be more worried about them looking at my crotch than...
No. I don't know if you remember this.
What's TSA.
Underneath that shirt? Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this. This was very funny. He wore his Yip shirt underneath another shirt on the day that they were having the flu shots at the office.
Oh, fuck.
And he had to take off the overshirt to get to his arm, and I was just like...
I was like, oops. Oh, well, don't want to die of flu.
Yeah.
No, basically, it's been really weird, like... I've talked about this before, but my mother actually found out because of CSI and because of, I had that goddamn shirt that said "Got Yiff" on it, and you know, she never paid any mind to anything I did. Like, you know, I was raised by, you know, Mario and Zelda. So, but anyway, yeah, thank you. How appropriate. But I had this.
I got CSI too.
Thank you. You're so convenient.
There's an app for that.
And this is the part where the recorder's battery died for about 2 minutes. There is a really funny story about Recky's aunt in here, so just laugh a minute and pretend that you heard it. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I talk about furry with my furry friends, and I... You know, if they don't care about comic books, I don't bring it up with them. So if my other friends don't care about furry, I don't talk about it with them. You know, it's just not an issue.
That wasn't me this time.
That was Law and Order. Thank you. Much better than CSI.
So, yeah.
And so I guess next question. Step right up. You're the next contestant on Notcast. Might be right.
Probably not.
So, Rez here. First I want to say it's good seeing y'all in the flesh from hearing everything except for Recky.
Somebody I've already seen the early Recky episodes
on this occasion, so
so why are you okay to blurt shit out from your chair, but you get all shy and stuttery when you get to the mic?
Excuse me, I'm just sitting over in the audience. Now I'm standing up in front of people. Whoop-de-doo.
They're staring at your head.
They're staring at my ass.
Don't flatter yourself. Don't flatter.
Thank you. But I do have a question, and this will make me blush. But so I was up here with my boyfriend, and we tried to have sex the first time. There will be no names, but... I could not keep it up.
That's okay.
It's a common thing, and I'm worried that it will keep happening in the future, so I was curious of what I can do to keep it, and fuck you. To keep it up.
Fuck me.
Anyway, I'm going to sit down now because you're going to hear me from my seat anyway, so...
Okay, well, you're lucky because I know your sexual history. Not from a personal face-to-face level, but...
Dr. Recky in the house, I have your chart here.
I do call him my psychiatrist.
I'm not trying to embarrass you in front of everybody, but you are kind of new to the whole gay fuckery thing. Waking it to your computer does not count as sex, so...
This arm is so strong.
Yes.
Slash me gets it up.
As you... I had the same problem when I first started messing with guys, and as you go on, you get more comfortable, and you're already comfortable in your sexuality, I can tell that, but as you go on, you're not as... You seem like you're not as comfortable with sex itself yet, so just don't beat yourself up and keep practicing.
Unless you're into that.
So. It's not just a gay thing.
I know.
It happens to straight guys, too.
I'm just trying to make sure he doesn't
think it's everybody.
You know.
Yeah,
it's more
of not being experienced. Yeah, it's being worried, being a little bit anxiety.
You don't want to do it wrong the first time, you know. Yeah.
At least with guys, you can't accidentally put it in the wrong hole. Does that be like extreme sounding, and that would not be fun?
I think you might fucking notice.
Well, you know, honey, this doesn't feel like I thought gay sex would feel like.
Something tells me that wouldn't be that casual.
It really is just a...
nerves.
It's more of a young or inexperienced thing, and fuck through the pain.
No, shut up.
Okay. Basically, it's the when we're young, and especially we're starting out with someone we're just falling in love with. Because it's sort of society has drilled this into our head. We put a lot of pressure on this has to be perfect, and we have to do this way, and we have to get this achievement. And I am not reading that.
Bondage harness.
Bondage harness.
Possibly.
Thank you, Recky.
You're welcome.
The thing is that you just need to take the pressure off and just kind of be like, you know, if it doesn't happen this time, it's no big deal. It's not like my dick's going to fall off after tonight and I'll never be able to do it again. And then you just, you paw each other, you change tactics, and maybe then you move on to it. Or if you don't, then you guys just do it another way. You know, you do
suck
oral, you hand
dick.
Jobs. And, you know, you just keep trying, and you don't make it like a big issue. And eventually it really is kind of like nature will just take over, and eventually it'll just go on its own. I'll also say, if you're planning on topping, go ahead and put the condom on earlier in the procedure, because for a lot of guys, it's like a pain in the ass on wrapping it, and you got to put it on, you got to fuck with the lube and everything like that. Get everything all ready to go, so that when you're ready to go, it's just bam, done, and you're not fooling around with something like that.
Well, for the whole keeping it interesting thing, I did tell Recky this a little bit, but we were playing around, and I did say, I was topping him, and I was playing with one of his toys.
Did you say something during sex?
Yes.
Like, one up.
And really, since it was our just
did you
our
stick
first
it to your forehead and say, I'm the dildo unicorn?
I said was worse. I said, wow. You know, normally this kind of stuff would squick me out, but right now I really don't give a shit. Oh, wait. Get it? You mean because in your butt.
Oh, did you really?
That's why he found it fucking hilarious.
That's terrible.
You know, okay. Making someone laugh
you're
while you're inside
person.
Them is not a good idea. It can be bad and hurt.
Well, luckily it wasn't me. It was just a really long toy.
Well, as long as you're not texting while fucking, I guess it's fine.
Especially if you're texting the person that you're with. FYI, I'm totally in you right now.
Wow.
You're just so furry, you have to TS the animal movements while you're doing it.
In real life.
Yeah,
my pretty tail
sadly, that can't be read. I'm
pulling your tail.
I said, and pop goes the cherry.
Oh.
And pop goes the cherry, okay.
Yeah, that's what I said.
See, these guys came prepared with big signs and shit.
Now, have they written us a letter? See, Horses Ghost has a tradition to uphold.
Pubic hair.
That is a very big letter, mind you.
Are you going to auction off these signs at later?
Cubert!
That game sucked.
You need
You're not old enough.
And a napkin. We need a letter.
I'm not old enough.
You ain't old enough for Cubert.
No. Yeah, I was born in 86. How do you feel?
Older, because my birthday was yesterday.
That's right, gay death.
Oh.
That was like 5 years ago.
Oh, good.
So you hit gay death at 30, and then I guess I'm useless between 30 and 40, and then at 40 I suddenly become a daddy bear and have a sex life again. That's how the gay community works, right?
So you're in a 10-year lull?
You're in a 10-year lull.
The gay community can be fickle as fuck, so...
Nah, fuck it. So I don't truck with the gay community.
Did you say really? Oh, okay, good.
That wasn't a really. That was a really.
Eyebrow all the way up.
Does anyone else have a question?
Preferably involving dick. We have a question over here.
Come on up.
All right.
We'd like to welcome you and your beard to the mic.
Yes, yes, I know. I was just a little wilder and not quite as trimmed as the at-risk panther.
We don't talk about his beard.
Because sometimes it comes to visit again.
Fucker.
Yeah, I'm Cody Axe, the wolf bear, and I've actually been listening to the show since Damien was the husky and on the show and with Zapnut. And yes, and yeah. And happy birthday, Fuzz.
Oh, thank you.
I do appreciate, even though it's like, I now call myself straight with gay experience because, yeah, I've done the gay, but I prefer female.
There you go.
That's
there
okay.
you
go.
Yeah. It's kind of thing like, yeah, I turned 39 this year. It's kind of like I'm just figuring out. It's almost like feeling like I'm just figuring out now that yeah, I really don't want that happening unless it's a woman with a strap on.
Did you figure that out? But nothing wrong with your experimentation.
You figured it out eventually.
Yes, yes.
So
well,
what's
we
your
all
question?
Figured it out as the saying goes. It gets better.
Yeah.
And I actually have a bit of a quandary. I live in Philadelphia. Pennsylvania. I am in a house with, let's just say, what is this? It's a bunch of guys. I'm the only furry in there. I have one friend. Well, this is the person I'm going to be talking about. We'll call him Scott, and I sincerely doubt he's going to be hearing this because he is not a furry.
Okay.
And half the time, it's like I get static from him about that. And I was looking at, I was like, half the time it's all in jest. However, there is one time when I was looking at something and I kind of overheard him talking to someone. And it's like he was basically bad-mouthing me. And I may have autism, high functioning autism, what they call Asperger's, but it's like I kind of think, like, you know what? I don't like what you're saying, but I know enough about sociality that I really should not be calling you at this point. And I have not told him because he says, "Oh, I got a friend. I got this fat friend of mine who thinks he's a bear."
Rawr.
It's like.
There's a real simple solution.
GTFO?
Move the fuck out.
Yeah, that's basically
the
question.
Seriously, someone with that kind of attitude that is just there to be a dick, you don't live with them.
No. Yeah, I've been thinking about moving, and yeah, that was basically the question. Is like, am I right to be considering moving, knowing what this guy has been doing?
Why the hell would you live with a douchebag? I mean.
He's been a friend for a few years, and it's like.
Well, then he turned into a non-friend.
Yeah, I'm just keeping in mind, like, how, because I kind of don't want to move because the hassle's going to be. It was a hassle moving from where I was, which was in my parents' basement, to where I am now, and it's like, Yeah, I just got up.
You also don't want to be living in a potentially aggressive situation.
Or at least something that's demeaning.
Yeah, I mean, it might be like kind of passive-aggressive now, and he's just talking shit to other people, but... You know, I mean, that has a potential to develop into something more confrontational, and you're better off living with some, you know, people that you're more like-minded.
He says other things like he had a stroke and he's been milking that for all it's worth.
Oh mm-hmm. Yeah, that no.
It's like, dude, I've had a stroke, and it's not, you know.
It's kind of thing like, yeah, I got diabetes. And like, he's looking. He keeps telling us like I have no idea why the hell you have not had a stroke. To me, it's like I'm looking. Half the time, it's like, good grief, why am I pointing? Well, there's been half the time, it's like, why do I put up with you?
It basically comes down: weigh your pros, weigh your cons. What do you get from staying? What do you get from leaving?
Mm-hmm.
If you can put up with this bullshit, if your situation when you're living in that house has more benefits and you can put up with the bullshit and it's the benefits are worth it, then stay. If this is a real problem and it's going to keep digging underneath your skin and it's going to erode your relationship over time, because once you hear this, you can't unhear.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you can forget, and it's going to be an awareness you have from now on.
All right.
So weigh your pros, weigh your cons, and then... think real hard on it and make your choice from that. Okay. If you're comfortable, if you can afford to live there, I don't know what kind of, how you break up your living situation, if all that is fine for you and you can deal with, okay, he's being a douche, but the rest of the situation here is fine. I can have my own room. I'm not living with my parents.
I am in my own room.
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah. You're not living with your parents if that's your choice on what you have to go back to. But what I'm saying is, like, okay, I'm here, I'm living with these people, I've moved out of my parents' house, and now I have my own room and my own space. But to do so, I gotta live with a douchebag. Is that okay? Or can you find more roommates? Can you move someplace else
where you'll be happy? I've been thinking about moving, and looking on and off about
moving. As it is Philadelphia, I bet there's a pretty decent furry community.
I was thinking, I mean, we go to Anthrocon, and it looks like Anthrocon came to us.
Yeah. No, I was like, there's not a whole lot of active furries. Like the
simple answer is just weigh your options and go with it.
Okay.
So. Anyone else?
Well, let's hang on just a second. Oh, okay. The blinking light on this is going, and...
we need to save.
Okay.
Aww.
Aww.
Well, he said he was ready to go.
Very, very, very short. Yeah,
okay. So, email or question, your call.
Somebody have a question real quick?
Okay,
cool. Cool.
Gentleman with the style and hat.
That is quite the hat, sir.
I was actually wondering about your situation. You said you moved out of your parents' basement. Mm-hmm. Did you move in with him, or is it a shared apartment? Is there any way you can tell him to GTFO? Like, kick him out, find a better, less douche roommate.
The landlord likes him.
Yeah.
Problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Move.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right, come on.
Just bow right here.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to go back to you again.
Okay.
I just want to ask, you are paying a share of the rent or the utilities or something, right?
I am paying rent for my room, and I think you guys are part of that.
Excellent. So you're paying a share of the rent, therefore you have everybody as much right to live there and have your own boundaries as they do. What that means to me is that even if you decide not to move out, or at least not to move out right away, you have every right to tell him to get out of your face, and if he's going to talk bad about you, at least not do it where you can hear him.
I think the situation is, he has absolutely no idea. As far as I know, he has absolutely no idea. I was standing there looking at a book. I was looking at a book at Celtic deities for research or something. He had a script field for both pagans.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was looking through it, and it was like, I was looking through the book because I didn't want to take it down the stairs to my room and then have to come back up. So I was looking through this, and he was talking to someone probably through Skype or something, and I was like,
So he talked
and... I was hearing him, and it's like... He had his door open, and it's like, I was hearing him, and... Like, I didn't say nothing. I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And so he had back to me. So as far as I know, he has no idea I heard that conversation. And at this point in time, I'm not about to tell him.
Yeah, you're probably right. Keeping the drama down to minimum is probably best, but I'm just saying that if something like this goes on in the future, you've got a right to live there without being miserable.
Yeah. I will go to when I hear there's a fully firm meet going on, I don't care what he thinks he needs to do. I'm going to this firm meet. You don't want, I know you don't want to be there, so guess what?
It started.
If you don't have a problem, it's my tail.
That'll work.
Okay.
Now we've beaten that dead horse now.
Yeah,
that horse.
That horse. What? Wait. Horses go?
Hey, so we're going to go
he's
on to
He's not a horse, he's a
here.
Goat.
Sheva's going to read an email. Let's all watch and learn.
Yeah, watch me stumble.
Dinmother's going to read us a story.
Dear Notcast, your long-eared listener, Bake Bunny, now known as Airman Butter Bunny, here to say hello.
What the fuck?
I have no idea.
Okay, don't feel the need to share with the class. Continue to email.
I just made it through BMT, and now I am in tech school for security forces to be basically a cop. Right now, I'm located in fabulous Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, and, well, I was curious. My mate who has supported my choice to join the Air Force, he is worried as hell that I'm going to get deployed to Iraq, and being a gay military fur, I can't really go to the chaplains and talk to them about our concerns. Anyway, my question is there a support group for gay military couples to help ease the stress about me getting sent into battle or getting injured in the line of duty? Stay naughty, Airman Bunny. P.S. I would like to say that any military furs who feel alone in the line of duty, you are never alone. My roommate was a straight furry fox, and he was awesome until he got sent back a week of training. But yeah, there are military furries, and you are not alone. I am not a baby bunny, all in caps. I don't know.
Okay.
Didn't we touch on that?
Yeah, we've answered the question before.
But shit's actually changed since we answered the question.
Yeah, shit has actually changed. Right now, there is a group called Knights Out, which is technically a support group for gay graduates of West Point, but there are several associated groups for each branch of the military. With Don't Ask, Don't Tell being lifted, he'll be able to serve openly, but there's still the whole, you know, spousal concerns going on. Because, I mean, you know... Now that he can serve openly, it's a bit more, you know, it's better in my opinion.
I think once Don't Ask, Don't Tell fully gets phased out and you can serve completely openly and everything is all the way down, there will be more support groups that pop up where people can openly attend. I believe there's probably some online ones where you have to keep a certain degree of anonymity just because there's been so much danger for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't know of any right now, but I've got a feeling that more and more are going to appear fairly shortly.
Just to reiterate, if you're in the military and you're a furry, you're not alone. I've actually sent, owning a shipping company, I've actually sent quite a few orders to military addresses. They're either U.S. ships or FPO, APO addresses. And I mean, I've sent, you know, gay furry porn to Iraq before. So you'll find furries in the most unusual places. And it's... Seeing that, it's really kind of interesting seeing where I'm sending stuff. I just sent an order to Israel, and that was the first time I'd done that. I thought that was kind of cool.
It's kosher.
Dandereki?
The furry porn is kosher.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Hey, Notcast. I've had a very eventful and weird week. First off, I want to open by saying that if you're out in a dorm while at college, leaving your door unlocked at night is a great way to discover who on your floor is gay or bisexual.
What?
Oh, right. My.
College is the place for experimenting, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. I know this. But I really didn't think it was going to be quite this way. So, for the first time, I did leave my door open at night, and surprise, surprise, a tale or... A tall, oh, a tail, my bad. A tall.
You fur fag.
Don't judge me. A tall, fit, attractive black man pushed it open just before I was going to wash up and go to bed. He opened the door, very offended. What the, where the fuck do you go to college?
This is a college of fucking porno.
But he opened the door, very effeminately, asked me if I was gay. What the shit?
Dear penthouse, I never thought it would happen to me.
Shiva.
Of course I said yes. I wasn't going to lie. I would have lied. And then proceeded to fill up my junk. What the shit? Okay. This just doesn't
this
fucking happen.
Letter.
I'm sorry. This yeah. is
this really is the perfect evil for
this is a real cool story, bro. Thing, but keep
you,
reading.
You can't
it's
make this shit up. Yeah, you can actually. It's, I said no, pushed him off, and told him I was looking for something more serious in my life than that. He then asked if we could just spend some time together because he was lonely.
He's like, no, I'm totally fucking serious.
And knew nobody else, to which I said, sure, and then about 5 minutes later, we had sex. Oh, you fickle bitch.
Let's just
call. Way to stick to your fucking guns. Yes, I was using my actual brain's dim-witted and energetic little brother at that point. A little? Although, thankfully, he had condoms on him.
OG just happened to have some. Like, he didn't plan
on this. Oh, I just
want
to sit here and chat. I happen to bring all these condoms with me.
Oh, my.
I didn't mean to fondle your cock on the way in. All right. He told me he just wanted us to be casual sex partners with nothing else ever, and that he didn't... Stop fucking squeaking. That he didn't know anyone and wanted to keep it a dark secret.
What the fuck? He just randomly walks into people's dorms.
Wait. Wasn't he a tall, dark man, and he wanted to keep it a dark secret?
You racist bitch. Is anyone in here offended? Good.
As a black man, I'm deeply offended as a former black man.
Were you about 9 inches offended? Deeply offended?
Oh, goddamn, come on. All right, shut the fuck up. Let me finish this.
The former black man had a blackiotomy.
God damn it.
No, I had a black man.
After letting him taunt me a few times that day, oh my fucking God, I ended up sleeping on it and realizing I really couldn't do the casual sex thing. It just wasn't me. You slept on his cock and decided that.
It took me 9 times to realize this. This just doesn't feel right.
You just couldn't face that 10th.
This email is not over. I want to start building towards a future with a family and kids. Yes, with a man. And your casual encounter in the dorm is not going to do it. And while I know I'm not going to be ready for a long while, I want to actually date someone and become emotionally in love with them before having sex. And I want them to be interested in someday having children, or at least living an open and true life together as well. Well, fucking a random black guy walking into your college dorm and sleeping on his cock is not going to do it. So I did what I thought was right and told him in no uncertain terms by phone that I couldn't do this with him. And he was enjoyable, but it just wasn't me.
The dumbest person who might have accidentally ended up sleeping with him again.
Oh, this is fucking terrible. He was very understanding and agreeable, and overall I thought this was just going to be one of those landmark road bumps in the your ass is the road bump. And the road of life, and since we both lost our virginity in the process, I think he probably lied to you. It would definitely be something I always remembered. And then he called back. Hey, whichever of you does the dun 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 thing, do it now. Who does
dun,
that?
Dun dun dun.
Oh, okay. Let me.
Oh, he's pulling out the soundboard.
Oh, he's got the soundboard.
Okay,
fucking Android.
Well, dude,
soundboards are taking the jobs away from.
Dun dun dun.
That's not the right piece.
He had called to talk about how he understood and was okay with my breaking it off, but that he just wanted to do it. Well,
you fucking perverts.
Somebody had the
phone. And he called off just to talk about, okay, understand me, I'm not going to say that again. but he just wanted to do it one more time. What a fucking hoe. I said no, he said okay, and that night he proceeded to call me 8 times from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. and knocked on my door for around 5 minutes between calls. I know, you should have called the fucking police.
Sounds like yeah.
I know it was mean to ignore him, but that time seems to be giving his horny time, and I didn't want to risk giving in again. Plus, friends do not hang out at 4 a.m. That's not, that's for banging buddies. Wow. He literally lives next door to me. Oh, that's bad. There is a single wall between us when we sleep, and I just don't know what to do. He's from Africa. He came here in August.
Oh, God.
And this is fucking terrible. And he was brought up to think it was terrible to be gay, and like I said, he has no friends and will never leave the closet. I did give him the number for the LGBT center and was hoping he would try and get some support there. He's really gay and effeminate with a crazy high sex drive, so he really needs to find someone, in my opinion. Just not me. Oh, God. Any thoughts on what else I can do? I'm now kind of afraid to leave at night. Did you give me this fucking email on purpose?
Yes.
I just don't realize that you cocksuckers do that. Any thoughts on what else I can do?
You get so angry.
Rawr.
I'm not angry, I'm appalled.
Yes, he does.
Push his dick down the stairs.
I'm now kind of afraid to leave at night to go to the bathroom in fear of running into him. And while you need to call the fucking cops!
You are gonna run into
and
him.
While I feel sorry for him.
If you run to the bathroom backwards and lewd, you might have something to worry about.
I don't think I can be a friend since his sex drive leaves him to try and make regular situations in porno scenes. It sounds like he's a rapist. Yeah. He's kind of freaking me out, but I also feel sorry for him and responsible for him getting out and about as a gay man, since he clearly needs to, and he has definitely not had it easy being who he was through his life so far. Should I just ignore him? Yes! And leave him to live his own life now, since it seems that I only trigger the must-have-sex-now part of his brain, or should I do more? He's really non-threatening and overall nice guy. I mean, that genuinely, he's just really horny, non-committal, and closeted, which makes this a huge mess because I seem to be the only one involved in his life now. Any and all input, much appreciated. You guys are the greatest. Lexi. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Since I read that, I get to respond first.
We now go to Recky for the response.
Okay, so...
this apparently, sounds like this somebody is the nicest, took a story they found on GitStar and training? Adapted it.
Well, do what now?
I said, it sounds like they took a story from GitStar and adapted it to an email.
Why are you still wearing those glasses?
Because they are awesome.
Okay. Okay, so...
I can see rainbows.
I don't think I need to reiterate my opinion of this whole situation.
Yeah, I think you made it pretty clear.
But, yeah...
So you don't approve?
Unless the subject line is dorm room trouble. It even sounds like the name of a story on GitStar.
It sounds like an episode of Law & Order, actually. So. God damn it. Anyway.
Dorm room trouble. Nine a.m. Location. My anus.
We're going to get sued by Comcast now. Thank you. So, but yeah. You should have called the cops somewhere in this whole thing. And, okay. Gay, closeted...
Horny.
Guy from oppressive Africa. Why did you do that?
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
And I also don't understand how you just happened to sleep on someone's dick.
You think
he slept on the idea of having casual sex with his
friend. Okay, well, he needed to reword his email. You need to go back to high school English because they're sleeping on it, and then they're sleeping on his dick. So, all right. Well, I'm fucking appalled. That's,
are you roared out?
Yes, I'm good. Go.
Is it last place to get a hold of ASB or something? Then secret.
It sounds like this took place in the ASB dorm.
Oh, right.
You know, you can really sum it up you, really if you're easily. Gonna... Just don't stick your dick in crazy.
Yeah. Or let crazy stick its dick in you.
Or how about not leave your fucking dorm room door open for someone to come in and play rapist?
Oops, I bent over.
So, okay, opinions.
Was it
you,
did I nail it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't necessarily call the guy a rapist, though, since it didn't say in there anywhere that the guy actually said no or
he's just
said,
really pushy, though.
Get off me, or I don't. Well, I mean, it didn't say he was coerced.
Well, that's why it's I said pseudo rapist in training.
Right, right. Yeah. It's possible. He should just be, you know, upfront with the guy and be like, you know. Don't fuck me, bro.
A rad bromance. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, can we move the fuck on from that?
I don't think we could ever move on from that. We have a raised hand from the audience.
You, just come on up.
Yeah, you're not going to hear you over there.
It's actually in response to Lexi, I think you said he was.
Yeah.
One of the things that he can do to say directly to the person is that, you know, while I feel sorry for the situation, you can't take personal responsibility for someone else's past. And so he's got to be able to make himself a priority. And you tell the person you need to stop. This is harassment. Go to the, you know, GLPT center, BT, excuse me, center, and... find someone there, or one of the student advocates, and let them know that this is a problem. And usually you can get the dorm room switched, or you can get your own personal, you know, switched into a different dorm or at least a different section of the dorm, because living in fear is wrong. So no matter how much you emotionally want to try to save this person, you've got to take the steps to take care of yourself.
You're very right.
So, you know, with this appalling and weird and some bad choices that were made to circumvent all that and get out of it now, let the guy know under no uncertain circumstances, this is harassment, it's going to stop. I can and will, you know, get the authorities involved if I need to. And then for his own protection, go to whoever he needs to go to for a sympathetic
ear. Could be an RA or something else.
Yeah. Anybody who can, if he doesn't want to explain the situation, or if he doesn't want to out the guy, you know, there's definitely some harassment going on there, and he fears for his safety, and that's enough to get you a room move, at least, if not into a different dorm.
Well, the first step is actually talking to the guy, which he didn't say anywhere in the email that he'd actually done that. Yeah. So I was like, you need to be upfront with them. There's a cultural difference there, for starters. I totally feel for the guy coming from an oppressive society, but he needs to sit down and talk with this guy, step one, and then... You know,
in a neutral environment, preferably not in his dorm room in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
There's also one other thing. One thing that I want to point out is that, I know I was like, oh my God, and reacted to that because that is fucking insane. That's a really weird story. But the cultural difference you mentioned, a lot of people from different countries and different societies that where, you know, we actually have it really good in this country despite what we think, you know. But those people from countries like that, hey, shut up, guys. Those people from countries like that, they're not going to want to be out at all, because they come from a place where
if you're out,
you die.
Right.
Some of their governments actually execute them. So that's one thing that's going to be a problem trying to handle that situation with, say, an RA or something like that, because that guy is not going to be out at all to anybody. The only reason he got brave enough to go play with Lexi is because he figured out he was gay. So that's going to be a big hurdle.
I would just say threat of physical harm, because whether it's rape or being beaten, you know, he doesn't have to go and, you know, say, I had sex and I feel like he's going to have sex with me. I think he's gay, or I know, you know, that. But just...
It's just really delicate. He needs to be careful whatever he does.
Wording will be important, but he's got to get himself out of that room.
And it also depends on if he's got a traditional family in the U.S., he could actually get his... If he goes to the RA and complains about the guy and this allegation comes up, if it does get back to a traditional family he does have in the U.S., he could actually have something very seriously bad happened to this guy. And it may come down to that cultural. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying be discreet.
Yeah.
And be careful. You never know what you're going to get someone into.
And I did check. It's not a story on SoFurry. So.
Good for you.
Do a tag search. Do you have another interesting...
I do, unless there's somebody out there that has another question.
Patter,
you're getting
come
pointed
on up.
At. Yeah, congratulations, oh, okay. You're next.
You've been volunteering.
Hello.
Hi.
All right. This subject kind of goes along with what we've been talking about. Well, somewhat off track, but still around the subject of, like, discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I know I'm gay, although... haven't actually confirmed it, you know,
couldn't
with real experience. But the thing is, though, within the year, I want to be moved out of my parents' house since I got a full-time job now and eventually want to get a place of my own. And when I do that, I want to be more out, you know, because right now I have to be closeted in order to stay at my parents' house.
Understood.
And, but when I am out, because I want to be out, you know, I don't like... living closeted, you know. I want to be a little more expressive, maybe dress a little differently. But, you know, not just be the stereotypical flamboyant homosexual, because that's really not what I am. But my biggest concern is, you know, I'm a small guy. I'm not really confrontational. And my biggest concern is confrontation, you know. Getting, like, questioned or harassed by someone, say, a foot taller than me. Obviously, very predominantly straight and wanting to protect that.
Drunken redneck?
Yes. She said drunken redneck.
For reference, guys, he's from where I'm from, East Texas. Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's not like nothing like Austin, you know.
It's nothing like the furry stories online.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm in furry, because it's so accepting, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you a little bit. Not very much, and I've been able to tell that you're kind of got a barrier going on.
Definitely, yeah.
But you know, you're really just kind of down the road, and you've got him around. I know you don't know them, but they live very, very close, like a town over.
Right.
And we're all up here, and I know you well enough to know you're not fucking insane.
No way.
So
glad for
if
that.
If you ever just need to get away or get out. You can come visit us up here.
Well, I'm afraid it's not really my concern. I mean, like if I was in a public situation, you know, what would I say to a guy like I described?
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, you know, if you ever just want to get away, you're more than welcome.
But
to tackle your situation.
What do you do if you get into it in like a grocery store parking lot type thing?
Yeah. Or like map numbered or something.
And I say this as a girl. Where we are pretty much fed a steady diet of don't get raped from the time we are teenagers. And there's basic safe behaviors to do. Try to go keep in public. If someone starts to harass you, go for a public place. You know, if you're out in the parking lot and some guy starts to give you crap, head back into the store.
I see.
Try to keep it around as many people as possible. If you run into problems, head for a crowd. If you can't avoid anything, do not throw the first punch.
Of course not, no.
That's a good way to...
make them the enemy,
not
me.
If you throw the first punch, no matter what they say, you're going to get tagged with assault.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of... There's going to be maybe times when you're going to be facing, you're not going to be able to... necessarily back down or completely diffuse. The most I could say is try to escape. It's not necessarily running. It's being smart and knowing that maybe like me, I'm not as physically strong as a man.
Mm-hmm.
So just like me, you would be, if you're at a physical disadvantage, then you have to do what you have to do. The other thing you can do is take a self-defense class. Go out there, and there's several different modes that you can do to learn how to protect yourself. If you fear for yourself physically, you can carry any of the non-lethal modes of defense that are available in the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm. You could tase him, bro.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, you do have options to defend yourself if it becomes a situation.
Right.
If it's where you're fearing to go toe-to-toe with someone who's larger than you and more physically intimidating, mm-hmm. look at some of the advices. Look for the way women are advised to deal with physical attackers, because it's going to apply to you.
That's my purse.
Then, of course, there's always the groups like the Pink Pistols, whose motto is armed gays don't get bashed. So, I mean, this is Texas. It's really easy to get a
concealed carry.
And, I mean, if it really is a huge concern, you know, concealed carry is A-okay.
I was going to recommend a really big male German Shepherd. No one will mess with you.
Maybe I'll just move to Dallas.
Well, let me give you a little boost of confidence. I grew up where you grew up.
Yeah.
I went to school out there. I did a lot of college out there. I was born out there, everything. Before I moved here, where you're at is all I knew. Yeah. Literally, I'd never left this state until I was 21.
Yeah, me too.
So
I'm 22.
I'm gonna give you a little bit of confidence here. As long as you said that you don't want to sit here and dress like a flaming queenie.
No, that's not really who I am.
Rawr. Anyway, as long as you don't do that out there and you don't advertise, like, you know,
rub it in their faces.
Yeah, don't wear the sparkly, tight, nipple-piercing purple shirt out there. I promise you, you
save
can be yourself out there without blatantly advertising, and you're not, you know, it. I know East Texas has got this reputation of being one of the most terrible fucking places on earth, but... It is, but
as a
gay man who grew up there, I know I'm big and intimidating, but I also didn't put it out there that much. I was myself without holding this sign that said, I am a fag. You know, I didn't do that.
Yeah, no bait.
And you don't seem like the type of person to do that. So honestly,
I wouldn't bait myself.
Be smart like Shiva was telling you to be, and you can be yourself. Just don't run around with your boyfriend wearing shirts that says, I'm the pitcher, and he's got one that says, I'm the catcher. And you'll be okay out there.
Save that for here, right?
Yeah, I did see that at the gay bar in Longview with this guy right here, and I laughed my ass off.
There's a gay bar in
Longview. Now, I did accidentally walk into a Walmart in Kilgore with... A shirt of George Bush and Dick Cheney that said, meet the fuckers, and forgot I had it on.
Oh, man.
And I didn't die.
That's gnarly.
And this was at, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't die. So, you know, you'll be fine.
Okay.
And come see us.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm just going to step in real quick. I just want to tell Patter, you know, the thing about it, especially I see it here at Furry Cons, you just have to remember how many friends you have. And for Patter, he does have quite a few friends relatively close. I mean, he has the Dallas Furs. He's got me just down the road. But when you surround yourself with people that understand you, who care about you, and, you know, kind of know what you're going through, it makes things a whole lot better. Because before I became a furry, before I was, you know, surrounded by these people, and especially before I came to Dallas and started doing this, I was a miserable fuck. So, you know, that's what furry can do for you. It can really change your life and make it for the better or for the worse, but usually for the better.
Yeah, I could tell talking to you online that you were miserable. So, glad you got better. Anyway, do we have another email?
It's nice that you can agree. It's like, yeah, you really were a miserable fuck.
I was like, oh, this poor fucking kid.
Okay. I'm glad you're better now.
But I have to admit, that was one of the more unique questions that we've been given as far as how do you deal with it being...
Okay,
I guess I will read this, then.
We'll throw that at Fuzz.
Oh, okay.
We'll read another email.
I see why. Okay.
Oh, God.
Family and furry. Hey, the four who know the knot. Exhibit A. I'm Miles, longtime listener, but I had been there's nothing on here that says, PBS, don't read this on the live show. Just making sure.
Darn it, you missed a surprise.
That's why I was checking. But I had been taking a break recently. Insert sad face here. Aww. I could even draw that if I was inclined to, but I'm lazy. But I'm getting right back on that naughty train. In 130, a certain WWE and Doctor Who loving skunk sent in a message about how his parents reacted, which got me thinking about how overwhelmingly positive my mom reacted. My father knows too, but we don't talk about it much. I remember sometime in 2007, I was watching a horror movie, and since I love my mother so much, I try to share a lot with her, so I told her I was furry. For a while, I hadn't had
in the middle of a horror movie?
By the way,
dun dun dun, I'm a fur.
Was it like American Werewolf in London? By the way, Mom, this for werewolves hot.
So here's the reaction, right? There we go. I love the Wilhelm scream. That called for Wilhelm scream. For a while, I hadn't had the balls to tell her because she was a CSI fan, but I sucked it up and did so. She was, like, nonchalant about it, but the next day she asked me to explain it to her. I did a pretty damn good job of explaining and showed her a few drawings. Since then, up to a year ago, she would welcome me showing her a particularly good piece, and she enjoyed seeing the fursuits as well. Recently, however, she has been reading Out of Position, Bridges, and Waterways.
Oh, my God.
Saying she would like to go to my first con with me, which will I have in 2013. Oh, this isn't a bad thing. My mom is totally awesome. Watching FPS, watching BBF's con vids, and is kind of crushing on Roan's fursuit. So I guess she took it well that she may be someday a fur. Anyway, thanks for making such a great contest. I'm assuming that probably iTunes autocorrected or something. I love listening to stuff while browsing the net, and your podcast is perfect. You've broken me multiple times. I've even fallen out of my chair once or twice. May you all enjoy. Hello, hello, baby.
What a dick.
I can't hear a thing. May you all enjoy Many Knots Miles. P.S. My grandmother also took it very well. It slipped in a conversation, and after I know, it's too easy. I'm not going there.
So grandmas are doable.
And after explaining, she quite liked the fursuits. P.P.S. Yes, I live with my mother, but plan on moving out soon, and I'm not a red badge. That's why no cons till 2013, because I plan to have my shit all sorted by then.
I have to point out one thing real quick. The skunk like WWE and Doctor Who, all I can see is Matt Smith body slamming someone. Hello. Assault is cool now.
Yeah, it would definitely be Eccleston.
Yeah, yeah, that's a nine move, yo.
It's fantastic.
I mean, that's always... That is good, though, to hear the people's parents are like...
Oh, yeah,
so like,
that's a better than expected reaction.
That's fucking weird, too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, my own parents, they've actually been vendors here at this con.
They were here today.
They were here today, actually, eating for lunch. And she was walking around taking photos of the fursuits and giving hugs to people, because that's like, what she does. She's a mom.
Like, come say hi. It's like, come up, hug his parents. It's like, hi. They're like, we want to be here next year. It's like, okay.
So, I mean, it is always good to hear when parents, like, our kids are weird, but that's okay. You know?
Yeah. It's like, I had a friend here today, and his mom has been around the edges of the anime fandom, and she came out yesterday, and she'll be out again tomorrow, and she thinks it's great. She went down into Artist Alley, brought a couple of Bridget Wild pictures, went around the den, got like handfuls of various plushies and everything. It's like, yay, I have swag. And she was just she just went and fur fagged out with everybody else, so it was great.
Well, the question is, so, you know, I know your mom doesn't give a shit, Fuzz, right?
No, she doesn't give a shit, but I haven't let her read Trevor's tricks. I was thinking of binding a copy that was all blank pages except for the dedication, so that she could have a copy.
You
but
dedicated
able...
Trevor to your mom?
Well, see, the thing is...
Well, it was my first book.
You know?
Did you really? Terrible fuck of the year award.
Hey, you know, if you make a copy that has no sex scenes in it, you know, it'll take, you know, 10 pages.
Yeah. It'd be like too small for the binder to bind it. Take out all the scenes. And then he's seen missing the screen cap from the Nine Inch Nails video.
So did
you have
family.
A soundboard too.
I have a soundboard of the yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's snatching your people up, trying yeah. to rape them.
Yeah, that guy.
We are ruining this.
What we got
you
now?
So dumb.
Well, his your mom knows, and your aunt knows about the whole furry thing, right?
Oh, my aunt. Oh my god.
Please, Rick.
So, my aunt is about as, like, she is anthropomorphic Texas. Okay. She is as Texan as it comes. I mean, she's, you know, I'm, you know,
she's about this tall, you know.
Little shorter.
She, yeah, she's stand up, Sarah. She's shorter than him.
Here on me.
Yeah, she's a tiny big woman.
About 10
yeah.
times as loud.
She speaks at this decibel level. So anyway,
as much twine.
Yeah, love. How y'all doing? You know, that's hard. But when I first moved to Dallas, I was and I recently at the time broke up with my boyfriend, and it was go back to East Texas where these sad fucks on the front row are living right now, or or you know, live with her for a little bit. So she kind of got the clue that I was into something, you know, computer monitor backgrounds, and yeah, you know, she figured out I was gay. We talked about that, and you know, she was cool with that. But she found out I was a Furby. So when this bastard got Fur Planet,
well,
he gave me a bunch of Wookiee prints, and I had them, and. Oh, honey, what's this? And she just opens it up and just like, dong.
Lots of those.
And then there was one with like the female reindeer with the candy cane hanging out of her wet pussy.
Oh, you mean by Jane Hale?
Yes.
No, it was a Wookiee. It was Wookiee. Wookiee has one like that too.
I mean, just cock, balls, pussy, everything. But they were animals. So, and she just sits here like this. She's, oh, no. Well, that one's cute, you know. Just.
Awesome, by the way.
Just
plain BTW.
Cool. Yeah, she totally doesn't give a fuck, you know. Now she does tell me every now and then she worries that all my, you know, I don't have any friends that are not furries, but that's the only concern
normal.
She's got with the whole thing. Yeah, she keeps calling me a Furby because she grew up with a speech impediment. I don't know what happened because now she has no problem speaking.
Except for that.
Yeah, well, she'll call me a Furby. I don't get it. But in any case, last thing about her, this is how much she doesn't care about me being a furry. About a year or two into us, I'm telling that story.
You can slowly see him get
dating. I ordered him for Christmas a couple of Zeta toys. And at the time, I was living at her house, so they got, don't you dare fucking.
what are you doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
For sale.
For Sarah. Love wrecking.
Make sure it's the one that comes.
So, well, how do UPS brought you a package today? What is it? Oh, absolutely nothing. What the fuck
computer?
Well, she was. I wouldn't tell her, and I, you know, I didn't know that at the time she was not the type of person to take no for an answer. And she was like, "Oh, I don't give a damn. What is it?" And I was just like, "Oh God, here we go." So, zoop. And I was just like, it's sex toys, dildos that are in the shape of animal penises. And this woman is a widowed 61-year-old woman.
She's 61.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she was just like, hey, it feels funny. Also, she's been married since before I was born, and she'd never seen a condom before. She didn't have kids. Her husband had medical problems. They never, you know. So my sister who's now a lesbian. I don't know why the fuck she had a condom in her wallet, but she had one.
Just in case.
Hold on, yeah, just so lesbian.
In case you're gonna rape me, put this on. Anyway, so she pulled out this condom because we were talking about sex, and she was just like, my aunt had mentioned she'd never seen a condom. My sister was like, are you fucking kidding? So she gets out this condom. You know what my aunt fucking does? She opens up the condom wrapper, goes to the sink, fills the, this is a 60-year-old woman from Texas, fills the condom up and goes, well, I'll be goddamn, that ain't breaking. And then boom, broke. So, if there's ever a story of a family member not giving a fuck about your sexuality or your furriness or your nerdiness or anything, it's her. So.
Thank you so much. That just made the whole
con. Even if it was not real, I don't care. Oh, and one more last thing. The first time she started talking to me about me, you know, bumping uglies with men, she said, I was trying to explain in the nicest terms possible. This was before I got comfortable enough to say fuck and shit and ass and all that around her. She, I was trying to explain top and bottom with her. And she goes, so the other guy's the one that bites the pillow. You know. Yeah. All right, that's, I'm not going to talk about her anymore.
Well, I'm sure that everyone else will be.
Won't fucking believe.
So did anyone else want to ask a question?
Yay, we have somebody in the back that's like, yes, Blanche!
Can we get all Recky's stories on audio?
You know, so far this recording's gone pretty good.
Oh, she knows about this, too. She's listened Hello. To it. We're fucking terrible, apparently.
Yeah.
So I have a statement and a question. The first statement is, I know what it's like to have totally cool family. When my mom found out that I was a furry, it was right before Anthrocon 07, which was my first convention ever. I was completely overwhelmed. Don't ever do it. Yeah.
Well, not for your first con.
Yeah, it was my first furry con, first
ever
con. Go to
AC, just not your first con.
But I told my mom about it, and she's like, well, I have some ears in the closet if you would like to use them.
Like human ears?
What?
My mom told me that. I was like, what? But, no, my mom's pretty cool. But no, my awesome. Question is, and this is to kind of go with a generic thing, it's something I like to ask people. We mentioned how the furry community has grown rather large. Do you feel that there's anything either missing in the community or that we need more of in the community?
Hmm, a good question. Hmm. I'm not going to answer it first. So.
We need more love.
Oh. No. There's so much love at this con, it'll get on you.
I was actually going to say, you know, we could always use more straight people. Because they make furry babies.
Fuzzy babies.
It's how we propagate naturally instead of just infecting other people.
Completely understand that statement. I totally plan to raise my kids furry. Furry gamers.
Anything more? I don't know if we need any more of any one thing. I mean, we've got a good balance of artists. We've got a good balance of people who just enjoy and writers.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of nerds.
We've got bushels of nerds.
I even think, you know, like writing is starting to become more prominent than it was, so it's not all about the art. And I think that could be extended to other forms of creativity, like music, poetry, things like that. Well, and just kind of keep the
music. You mean like sub-level 3?
Those guys?
Those guys?
The douchebags in the back.
Just keep the, totally. There actually are a lot more. It's not just techno. There's a lot of different music in the fandom. You'd be surprised. Because, like, on our music special at New Year, I was really impressed with the amount of variety that we had. You know, a cappella, rap, folk, electronica, just like rock, you know, traditional kind of rock and roll, just a little bit of everything.
And was anybody here when the dealer's den closed down today?
No.
You missed the opera. Show.
in... Well, there's a dealer in the den today. He's called Lucky Kojak. He does steampunk jewelry, and he is a professional tenor opera singer. And he used his voice, and he sang My Dealer's Den Closed. It was awesome. And the whole... He lit off, and the whole room went silent to listen to him. Whereas I'm usually screaming at the top of my voice, and they barely dim a little. He lit off, and it was just like... Meow. It was the best closing I've had.
You should hire him forever.
Well, he volunteered. He said, next time you need someone to do that, let me know. It's like, okay, we'll see how it works. And by golly, it works.
We should have him do all our announcements at like opening ceremonies and everything.
So yeah, there's music all... You never know where you're going to find someone with talent.
So what would you like to see more of? And don't say dicks.
Well, we've got that covered.
Somebody really needs to take a picture
of that. I guess civility.
Yeah.
I know I said it.
No, I agree. That's
amazing. Are you saying we should get along, you douchebag?
Shut up, you fucking faggot. I said the F word. I'm sorry.
And that, well, no, to go along with civility.
No judgment. You threw a beard at me.
Well, to go along with civility, I mean, you go on FA, and it can be pretty much a sewer.
Well, FA's fine. Just don't go on the FA forums.
Well, even comments on journals and art, it can just be just a sewer of hate.
So one thing I would say, more maturity.
That kind of goes hand in hand.
Even from the older people, you know, you can be 46 in real life and be 13 on the internet and act like it.
And that is like somebody out there said, it's an internet thing, not just furry thing. But
oh, that sounds like Catch a Predator.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
You're horrible.
People stop being dicks to each other is my wish. So.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
World peace, yes. Miss Notcast 2011.
World peace and save the whales.
At the moment, I only see one whale on Notcast. I think we have a winner.
Any other questions?
Do we have?
We've got a question in the back.
Yes, come on up. I was like, holy shit, Ricky's gonna go punch someone. No,
okay.
Ricky is apparently Doctor Who WWE.
Along Z! Fuck!
What? Yes. Does it say Along Z?
Yeah. You wrote it on. Nice.
Someone in the audience just drew the 10th Doctor body slamming a Dalek.
All right. Well, first I want to say that if you have the kind of parents who would try to pray the demons out of you, I would suggest not telling them that you're furry.
Yeah,
absolutely. Just definitely keep that a secret, I know from experience. I've got a couple of questions all related. They all go in a logical order. First, how do you find the straight women at a furry con?
I don't know. Let me know. I'm not one.
There's girls at a furry con?
Yeah, apparently.
I think so.
Then, once you find her, how do you know she's got her head screwed on straight? And how do you tell her or let her know that you're looking for more than just a sex partner? You're actually looking for a relationship so that she knows you're not just some horny guy that she's going to have to... just another one she's going to have to fight off.
Well, the question is are you looking for...
I know my shirt.
No. Oh, God. The question is, are you looking for a specifically straight female, or are you looking for just one that, like a bi one as well? Just someone who likes men?
Pretty much specifically straight. I know that's pretty hard to find.
Yeah, that's...
Have fun on your treasure hunt.
This isn't just furry, though. Even, like, geek sub... It's changed a little bit, but, like, back in the day, even geek subculture in general is, you know, it's like 80% men, 20% women, and most of the women were lesbians. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with it, of course.
But, yeah, that's a tough call. It's one of those weird situations where you're kind of in the minority.
I know.
Trying to find
I'm
somebody.
A minority within a minority.
Really, I think coming to a con to try to find that is probably not the best angle to go with. you know, getting to know someone online and then meeting at a con, that's actually a really common thing that comes up.
Sure.
And it works for, you know, gay, straight, lesbian, you know, get to know somebody online, kind of figure out, and then when you meet them in person, you have at least something to work with. Because, you know, the nature of a furry con, it's hectic, you're running around, you're going 27 different panels, you know, spending your evening listening to some douchebags talk in front of microphones for a bit. And, So I think, you know, finding someone at a con is probably, it's one of those one in a million shots.
Sure.
Yeah. And
I also can't remember that website. It's, oh, Furry Craigslist. What is it?
Pounced.
Pounced.
Yeah. But there's a new one coming out.
The other thing I would suggest is not limiting your search for a partner specifically to the fandom.
Sure. No, absolutely.
Yeah, because I have a very good friend that who's like a Doctor Who obsessive like I am, and he found this wonderful woman that he kind of looks upon his obsession of the, oh, that's cute, he's going to a convention, you know, but it doesn't negatively impact their marriage or their parenting, sure, of their child, apart from little tiny 10th Doctor outfits, I'm sure.
Oh, you're talking about...
No, it's nobody, it's nobody, you know, it's a friend of mine.
I was going to say, we had a tiny 10th here today.
Yeah, there was a tiny 10 here today. But so just finding like a regular person and kind of...
Yeah, as long as they're accepting, that's fine.
And I would go with that. And also, you know, look at other cons too, or
other geek fandoms.
Other little geek fandoms. Even like we have a local friend here whose wife is heavily into the SCA. So you look for something that's a little bit weird or a little bit off the mainstream like that. It might not be exactly what they're into, but they understand a hobby. They understand an obsession, and you know, they might not share it with you, but they're at least cool with putting up with it with you, or maybe even coming along. Yeah. So,
because you're probably going to, for them, you're going to be coming from the same angle, possibly, mm-hmm, where it's like they have something that they do, but you're not kind of like, you know, whatever, it's what they like.
Yeah.
And sure, you never know, if you do find someone further down the relationship, you could have some cross interests come along, you know? You could find interest in something that they like, and they might find a small interest in furry after a while.
Sure. Well, here's the thing. If you move a little bit to your side, look in the back, there's my mate. And when I brought him into all this, it's like, what's this furry shit? I don't get wanting to be a cat person. And now he's wearing a mesh gel light badge. So it's perfectly possible to take someone who has never been part of the fandom, doesn't understand it, mm-hmm, and, you know, 13 years later, here you are sitting at a furry con talking in front of a microphone.
That asshole cool. got me into WoW.
Yeah. So you never know where you're going to start and where you're going to stop.
Okay. FetLife? I'm sorry?
FetLife.com.
FetLife? No, I've never heard of it.
It's a general fetish website.
Okay.
It's just... Weirdos Anonymous.
Well, to put it bluntly, yes.
Yeah. Very, very bluntly. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just, and I don't understand why you're limiting it to just straight, but I will tell you that...
Well, it's just my preference, what I'm comfortable with.
I know. I'm just saying I don't understand that. But I'm just saying that you are going to, when you're moving in the furry community, that is going to severely hinder your choices. There's a huge chunk of gals out there who at least admit that they like the boobs, at least a little. They may be slightly, they may be...
Oh, well, slight's fine, yeah. I'm not saying 100%,
yeah.
You know, patrician, white bread, you know, not...
I know, I'm just saying this. Yeah. It depends on... Yeah, I'm just saying you're really limited.
I'm just saying my side of the bell curve is what I mean.
Yeah.
Your side of the bell curve, I bet you can find plenty.
Yeah.
Sure.
So.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Have
thank
a good
one. Thank you. It was not about...
An email?
Yep. We got one more email, and then we will probably have like one or two more questions, because it is actually 11:13. Yay. We're fitting within our time frame.
Something not on schedule.
No, we'll actually be on schedule if we end at 11:30, because then there's supposed to be another panel that's supposed to be coming in, but
is this for mine or for, like, Recky?
I don't know. Whose turn is it next?
I read that one, didn't I?
Okay, yeah. So guess what, Recky?
Sheppy Rock.
Okay. I gotta step out for a second. I'll be right back.
Go to go have a smoke?
Yeah. Yeah. Smoke.
Cancer Cove. All right. Weird title. It isn't mine.
What if it is
yours?
Hey
there, Notcast crew. This is obviously off topic, but oh well.
I'm a 28-year-old fox, and I'm in a bit of a mental bind. See, my non-furry ex-wife and I were talking the other day, and that's terrible, and we've patched some things up. We've always tried to be friendly even after things went wrong. Oh, my bad. I was getting comfy. So, all right. Hey there, Notcast. This is obviously off topic, but oh well. I'm a 28-year-old fox, and I'm a bit of a mental bind. See, my non-furry ex-wife and I were talking the other day, and we've patched up some things. We've always tried to be friendly even after things went wrong, and I personally try not to hold grudges. Truth be told, there's still some feelings for each other there, but we still have some lingering groans from the breakup. Now, I've moved out of the state of Arizona, and I'm living all right where I'm at now. She's still there, living with her friend, almost sister, and seems to be doing all right. That's not the issue, though. She brought the news that she had a baby girl.
Oh.
Now, it's not mine, and we're both sure of that since it happened a month after we stopped living with her. It was a one-night thing, I'm guessing, out of spite, and it went wrong. Either way, the father is a deadbeat who hasn't even gone to see the baby. That's where my mentality collapsed. We both wish it had been mine, but now it isn't possible. Still, here's that urge to tell her I want to go back and help her out, even though the baby's not mine. I have a steady job, a place of my own. I'm fairly happy where I am, but I miss the family life. Should I tell her these feelings, even though she might try to convince me to go back to her, or should I say fuck it and let it be? I mean, having a family of my own, mating kids, is something I've wanted for a year or so now before I hit 30. Any thoughts on this would be nice. Keep the awesome podcast going as I wait for each one with anticipation. The Blackfurred Fox from Norman, Oklahoma. Renardo Foxbrandt.
So.
Oh, my.
I think it's... You gotta go with what you want. I mean, if you confess this urge to her, is it going to be a bad thing if she convinces you to go back? Is it something you can repair? Would you be happy doing this? It really depends on if this is something you want. If you want to be a dad, even if it's not yours genetically, there's nothing wrong with that. You can be a dad and not be in any way, shape, or form part of that creation physical process, but you could still spend your lifetime raising a child. I mean, there's gay couples who do it all the time. There's people who adopt all the time. There's nothing wrong with having a strong paternal instinct and wanting to have a family and to take care of a child. So long as it's something you want, and so it's not trying to shoehorn you into doing this, and it's actually coming out of your own urge, then that's follow your heart.
Yeah. I was adopted. My biological parents are train wrecks. So, you could give that kid a nice life.
I mean, I'm kind of...
Yeah, me too.
It's one of those things where it's like, well, I mean, if you really want to be a father and, hey, there's like this baby right there.
You know, who happens to need a dad?
You know, it needs a dad. You're right there.
You're feeling kind of daddy, you know, you might as well.
What about the fact that they've already broken up?
I mean, yeah, with the divorce...
Adding a kid to the situation is not going to make the relationship any better. So
no.
I can understand him wanting to be a dad.
Ratchet, are you okay?
You killed him.
Fatality.
Well, I mean, that is a valid concern, especially with, you know, they have divorced. And, yeah, she did kind of spite fuck on this guy.
Yeah.
And there's a baby. You know, maybe he thinks that going back could help fix those issues. I wouldn't suggest getting, like, remarried and getting, you know, like, super involved right off the bat. But, you know, at least testing the waters and seeing how the dynamic changes with the presence of a kid.
And there's also no problem, so long as she's cool with it and you're still friends, to acting as a father figure to someone that you're not necessarily a biological father. I mean, if the kid's got a deadbeat dad, unless she remarries to someone who's outstanding, she is going to still need a father figure. And it's possible to take a place of the deadbeat dad and still act like a father and not necessarily be remarried. I mean, there's split households as it is.
Yeah, it just sounds like you need to test the waters and see where it goes from there. Don't jump balls deep back into it, because that could be a mistake. So,
we got a question.
More like a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old concept folks don't use as much these days, the idea of a godparent.
Oh, that's a very good point.
Yeah, there's that.
You know, in the absence of the actual father figure, a godfather, not the kind of make you offer can't refuse, but the actual kind of godfather is responsible for helping raise and take care of the kid.
It's a secondary parental mm-hmm. figure to fall back on. So you can always offer to be the child's godparent, as he suggested, and there's something you can do if you don't want to be actually remarried and be an official father, you know.
And if things changed after a while or progressed, then there you go. Would you like to share it with the class?
Peanut gallery is cracking up.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, any more questions? Come on. Kim?
This peanut gallery. That's the last
giggle,
email.
Giggle. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap that up then. Did you all have a good time? Woo! Oh, yeah.
Did we manage to horrify any of you?
No.
Okay, then okay. You're fine.
Yay!
All right, so we want to get a and big balls from the audience, those of you who've listened to the show.
Well, actually,
so.
Let's give them our contact info.
No, nah, don't worry. We'll fix it in editing. Okay, no, seriously. Either notcast.com or foxstuffers.com. Our email address is notcast@foxstuffers.com, so you get both types of goodness in one email address. Pretty amazing. Twitter account is notcast. FA account is notcast. Predictably, LiveJournal account. Also not guests. You can find me as Fuzzwolf2000 on Twitter, you guys.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, by all means.
You're so courteous, God. Not like real life at all.
Before you.
I'm Saverin Drake on Twitter, one word. And
I'm actually Chimera on Twitter. It's, you can follow them, check them out, and you can find me. I'm usually Shiva Cat on FA.
Cat with a K.
But yep. We have an IRC Yo. Channel that's always active at irc.anthrochat.net, /notcast, because you want to pound that.
Recce on FA.
So that's pretty much it. If you don't know how to contact us after that, well, you're out of luck. So on that note, we say good night.
And meatballs.
Thank you.
Yay.